Okay, so I wanted to discuss this topic, which some of you may have felt this, may feel this, may never feel this, but many, many who do leave yeshiva feel such a way that they failed. We're pushed, we're encouraged to learn as much as we can, to push ourselves to the limit, and then sometimes we break. Sometimes we just can't handle it anymore, and we leave yeshiva with a distaste. We feel like we didn't live up to the standards of our rebbeim, what they tried pushing and promoting. And I want to discuss that a little bit of what the perspective should be of one who leaves yeshiva and should never feel like a failure. And in fact, in the world of Hasidus, it's considered something very, very successful, but it's considered something that's very worthwhile and special. And let's go through a little bit. I want to pick apart Rev Lapyansky's book. It's a great book. I have tremendous covet for him, and I have no one to really pick it apart and analyze it. But there were two statements which didn't bother me, but I don't think really answered the question he was addressing. And I discussed with Rav Weinberger yesterday, right after Mincha, and he said the same thing that I had thought, which is as follows. When Lapyansky is writing in his book, The Ben Torah for Life, so he explains that an astute Rav once pointed out that Hasidim seem to fare much better than non-Hasidim in making the transition from Kolam. So, again, I'm not sure what this is based off. This is just based on someone who told him, and he said he writes with Chatzkel Levinstein, you know, also concurred with his observation. So let's assume that's correct. Let's assume Hasidim have an easier time transitioning from Kolel, Yeshiva, to work. So one of the reasons offered, he says, was the natural sense of kehila that Hasidus offer. That they have a very strong kehila, they're connected to a tzibur, and even when they go out, they feel connected to the family and the overall Hasidus that they're part of. That's one thing he explains. And then in the next chapter, he says, the second area that makes the transition for Hasidim easier than for the Litvish is that they have a Rebbe. So these are both very important concepts, having a kehila, having a tzibur, and having a Rebbe. But it doesn't answer the question. That doesn't really explain it. Because really the reason why, again, I don't know if this is true, that Hasidim have an easier time, but let's say it's true. The reason why it would be true is because the whole idea of the Baal Shem Tov is a Tamidim. The whole idea of Hasidus is going to work is not considered something negative. You're not considered a failure. That's the whole problem. If you were to think that going to work is a failure, so then you need to explain because he's a Rebbe, because he's a Kehila, that how is he able to stay frum. But once you understand that going out to work is actually something that's something we commend, something honorable, so then there's nothing to challenge. Whether there's a Rebbe, whether there's a Kehila, that all helps. But going out to work is something that's quite commendable, according to the words of the Baal Shem Tov, as all his Talmidim. So take a look at this first Mar Makom, Likutei Maran, Rav Benachman Mibreslov. He connects it to yesterday's Parsha. It says, Ki Seitze, when we go out to Mechama, what does Teitze mean? Hainu Bechinas Masa Matan Kanal, which means business. When a guy goes out to war, he's teta, he leaves the base medrash, he leaves the yeshiva, he's going out to deal with Masa Matan. Vizehu lemilchama alevecha, that's what it means, he's fighting a war against his enemies. Ki oz hu shas milchama im ha'oivim kanal. He's now fighting with the enemies, all the different forces that are outside. Ki tzarech levarir lehalos anitzotos mehem kanal. Now, those who learn the Svarim would be familiar with this term. Those who don't learn the Svarim are not. I hope to address this in the coming weeks, what it means to be lahalos hanitzotot, but very simply, there's kedusha, sparks of kedusha that are hidden everywhere. You know, a person who's a tzaddik from the time he was created, so he's full of kedusha. But then there's the Baal Tshuva who was able to come from a world of darkness and bring the kedusha from that world of darkness. So explain again in the coming weeks how to really understand developing and elevating the nitzotzot, but you're going out to the war to draw kedusha because kedusha is really everywhere, like we discussed last week. V'zeh, that's what it means when Nesanu Hashem Elokecha biyadecha, that Hashem places them in your hand. What does biyadecha mean? Zeh bechinas emuna. The only way a person can be successful in working, and I don't mean only financially successful, but even in ruchnius, is if you have emuna. That you trust that everything that's taking place is the hands of Hashem. That's what it means, biyadecha, shekasev vayhi yadav emuna, that his hands are emuna. So you go out to war, you fight against the challenges in the workforce, and you have your hands which represent the emuna of Hashem. By trusting in Hashem, Malin Hanitzot, that you're able to elevate all the sparks of Kedusha that are hidden everywhere. And then he finishes off saying, Vizeo v'shaviso shavio. That's what it means, taking the captive. Zeh b'chines Torah. That's Torah. So that's the question. What does it mean that's Torah? What does it mean to take the captive, to get the captive? That's the Torah. So we're going to leave that question behind us, and it should remind us of last week, v'shifti b'veis Hashem, the same lashon of v'shaviso v'shivio, to take the captive, the same shoresh. So at the end, we'll try to explain what this means, v'shaviso shivio, how that's a keem of Torah, and how that's a b'china of shifti b'veis Hashem koy mechayr. But let's understand something, however. How does one know, if we're really assuming, and we'll discuss again in coming weeks, what the mitzvah of working is, but let's accept it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. Look at the Kolbo. The Kolbo is one of the Rishonim. He's not a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. He's a Rishon who we pask in halacha like often. And he writes that it's a mitzvah. Ha'emes, ki mi she'osek b'malacha, one who's working with the malacha, he's going out to work, whatever he's doing, he's a doctor, he's a lawyer, he's a businessman. He's osek b'yishuv ha'olam. He's being involved in settling the world, helping society function. V'hi mitzvah gedola. And this is a mitzvah gedola, writes the Kolbo. Shekein matzinu, we find this, bone bayis. He's a guy who builds a house, where no take care of him, he plants his vineyard. Shechozer me'orchei ha'mochama. Last week's parsha, we had the din that they had the big Meshuch Mochama would say, whoever is not roy to fight should go back. So one guy says, I have a vineyard I need to fix. So that's a reason to go back. He has to fight the war, protect Klal Yisrael. He needs to go take over the land. He should go back because he's got a kerem. And the answer is because when you plant, when you have farms, when you have construction, when you're building things, helping society, so that's a mitzvah gedola. And therefore we see clearly from the Kolbo, it's a mitzvah gedola. So we'll get to again whether the mitzvah is a yishuv ha'olam, whether the mitzvah means to bring the nitzotzot of Kedusha, but there certainly is a mitzvah. But how do you and I know whether we should be working or whether we should be learning? Someone commented I should give a shir on why you shouldn't feel guilty when you leave work to go to yeshiva. So that would be me and my wife also, and she followed suit. She didn't really go to yeshiva, but she went to teach as well. So we have a theme in my family to leave the workforce to go help teach people. I would have said a joke about my in-laws, but my father just walked in right now. So they challenged this decision of mine. But Baruch Hashem, everything worked out well, I think. So that'll be it for another time, why you shouldn't feel guilty when leaving work to go to yeshiva. I can bring it up. So I'll tell you. So I have a good friend, Rabbi Sariel Malitsky. So I remember it was a summer. So my mother-in-law said to me, listen, if you're going to go to Smicha, so, you know, Sariel, he sells hot dogs in the summer. It's like, they're like hockey camp and stuff like that. So once in a while, I joke to my mother-in-law, I still have yet to sell one hot dog. And Baruch Hashem, we're still here teaching. So that was the joke. But Baruch Hashem, with the utmost support, and thank you. So now on the topic of why you shouldn't feel guilty when leaving yeshiva to go work. So how do you know whether you should be working or whether you should, in fact, be learning? So take a look at the Gemara. This is number 3 now. Gemara Chagiga Daf Hei Amud Beis. The Gemara tells us, Tanu Rabbanan Shlosha Kadosh Baruch Hu Bocha Alein B'chol Yom. There are 3 people who HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries about every single day. Al She'ef Shalasik B'Torah Ve'Eina Osek. One guy who should be learning and isn't learning. The guy's working, but he shouldn't be working. He should really be learning instead. Ve'al She'ef Shalasik B'Torah. And a guy who shouldn't be learning, but he's osik. Meaning there's some people who are in yeshiva who shouldn't be in yeshiva. Now, we're not talking about going through the whole system through high school. That everyone needs to go through high school. We're talking about after that point. When a guy he's old enough, he should be supporting his family. Should he be sitting and learning, or should he be going to make money? So the Gemara tells us, Shem every single day cries about those who are still in yeshiva and they shouldn't be in yeshiva anymore. It's time to move on. Rav Weinberger tells me, oftentimes he meets guys, he meets a number of Bachim, and he asks what they want to do when they grow up. And he says, I want to be a Rebbe. And he's looking at that guy, he's like, there's no way you could be a Rebbe. The personality, whatever it is, you don't have the skills to be a Rebbe. But sometimes kids are trained that's the only way to be successful is to be a Rebbe. And they don't have the qualities that are required to become a Rebbe. So Hashem cries about those people who are sitting and learning, or those who are even teaching and shouldn't be teaching. And then he cries about those who are working. And there are many Talmidei Chacham who are working and shouldn't be working. They should be learning. Now, what the ratio is, I'm not saying how many people should be learning, what percentage, but everyone, I think, here should agree that there is a need for kollel. You need to have rebbe. A rabbi can't be a rabbi unless he spends years learning in kollel beyond just his high school years. And you also need people working. You need to have a balance, and you need those who are doing both. Half day working, half day learning. But Hashem cries for those who are doing the wrong jobs. So I don't know if I should be learning or teaching. What should I be doing? Should you be teaching? Should you be working? What's the answer to this?
Teaching.
So it depends on each person. It depends on each person. So what are the signs that one has to look for as indicators? Whether they should be in the Beis Medrash, whether they should be teaching, whether they should be working. So I'm now just trying to think of some ideas. Certainly if a person doesn't have the money, he can't be supported, so then a person is not obligated to be poor in order to learn and teach. Now, it certainly requires Mesiras Nefesh, but if a person has no money to pay the mortgage, to pay for the family, so that's one reason why a person shouldn't be learning, if he can't support his family. A second reason, look at the Gemara in Chulin Daf Chav Dalad Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Kasev Echad Omer, one pasuk tells us, this is describing a Levi. We know a Levi would have to work in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, and he would have to sing, or he'd open the gates. In fact, this is actually an interesting point. The Levi, everyone assumes a Levi are the guys who sing. Now, the Gemara tells us that the Levim had two different roles. Some were gatekeepers, and some were singers. But they were never the both. Never were you both. And you could only be one. And if you're part of the family of singers, it's us for you to open the gate. And if you were a gatekeeper, it's us for you to sing. Because each person has a certain role they have, a certain tafka that they have to accomplish. So now the Levi had to go through some training. It could be voice lessons. It could be how to open the gate. They were heavy gates. They had to build up some muscles. I don't know what the training was. But the Gemara tells us that one pasuk tells us, Mi ben chamesh ve'esim shana umala. From the age of 25 years old is when the Levi would begin his job. The Kasev Echad Omer, and the other pasuk says, Mi ben shloshim, from the age of 30. Ask the Gemara, well, Eif shalomer shloshim, you can't say 30. Because Shekvar Nemar Chafei, we already know 25 is when the Levi starts. V'yav Shalomer Chafei, you can't say 25 years old, because Shekvar Nemar Shloshim, the pasuk says, from the age of 30. So ha-ketzad. How do you reconcile the pasuk of 25 and 30? And the Gemara tells us, and Rashi quotes this ala Torah, Chafei Lilmod U'Shloshim La'avoda. At 25, they start training. They start learning what it means to be a Levi. And at 30, then they go into a practice. Right, a doctor, a lawyer, they spend years in law school, in medical school, they need to practice, they need to learn before they can actually put everything into practice. So Levi also needs training. And then the Gemara comments, Mikan leTalmud shelo ra'a simen yafe b'mishnaso chamesh shanim. If a guy, a Talmud, learning for 5 years and doesn't see success, he can't remember what the Rebbe's telling him, he can't hold cup, shuvein ro, he's not going to see anymore. We give a guy 5 years to try, and Rabbi Yossi afterwards adds, Shlosh Hashem, he thinks 3 years. But another reason why a person shouldn't sit in kolel, shouldn't stay in yeshiva, is he can't hold cup. The guy can't learn. Not everyone was gifted intellectually, mentally, the ability to focus to stay in yeshiva. So whether it be financially, whether it be intellectually, whether it be mentally, these are all reasons why a person shouldn't stay in yeshiva. So now, if a guy has those, he can't hold cup. That means he should go work. If the guy doesn't have the focus, he should go work, and he shouldn't feel guilty.
And does it go the other way, too? If you're unsuccessful in business for 5 years, is that telling you to try another business, or is that telling you to go back to yeshiva?
Not sure. You have to ask a shy. I don't have any sources yet.
The reason here is,
yeah, I don't know the. I don't know that. I don't have any sources for that particular case. But ask a Shaila. Most likely, you should, depending on the guy's cup. I don't know. It's hard to know. Each case is different. But all we know right now is right. All we know is just about learning. That's all the Gemara is talking about. Yes. So you can make it general. You can make it globally, but it seems from the context only in terms of learning. But there is another way. There is another way that a person could know whether he should be learning or working. Let's say a guy has the intellectual capability, he's got the focus, he's got the financial backing. The Gemara in Bamatzia Daf Pehem and Beis tells us that Shmuel Yarchinah, that was his name, Asiya the Rebbe Hava, he was the doctor of Rebbe. And Chalish Rebbe Be'ene, Rebbe once had an eye ache, his eye was bothering him. So Amar Lei, Im Lech Lasame. So Shmuel Yarchinah said, let me give you some medication for your eye. Amarle, Rabbi says, lo yachilna, I can't. It hurts me too much. Okay. So then, Asher lecha mishtar. Shmuel said, let me put a little bit on the surface of the eye. Not a lot, just a little touch. Amarle, lo yachilna, I'm not able to. It hurts me even with a little soft touch of the medicine. So what happened? So hava mosiv le begufso desamne. So Shmuel Yerchani took a gufso, like a tube of simanes, tube of the herbs, the medication. Tosei beisade, put it below the pillow of Rebbe Vitze, and that was close enough to somehow heal the eye, and everything was fine. That was a maisa. So now, hava komet star Rebbe lemismichei. Rebbe was very troubled because he wanted to give smicha to Shmuel Yarchina. Now, you don't just give smicha to whoever you want. You have to be qualified. So certainly Shmuel Yarchina was a very big Talmud Chacham as well. He had all the capabilities, the qualifications of being a Rebbe. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, the first parak, tells us that you have to, not only do you have to be able to know the halachas, but you have to be able to present the halachas, have everything clear. So apparently Shmuel Yarchina had all the qualifications. And Rebbe was mitztair. He was troubled because he wanted to give smicha to him, but he wasn't having sat to the Shema. It wasn't working. I don't know what was going on. And every time he signed his name, it just didn't come out. And there's a, I just saw recently, Rabbeinu Yerucham. Rabbeinu Yerucham is one of the Rishonim, brought down by the Beis Yosef often. I just saw that they came out with a new print. So my brother-in-law, Ruby, actually told me a couple years ago that those who tried reprinting Rabbeinu Yerucham, it's a very old edition, hard to read. It's been tried for many years to reprint it. Anyone who did it, it was unsuccessful. Something burnt, I don't know. It never happened until I just saw this recently. Some people just don't have Siyata Dishmaya. So whatever happened, every time Rebbe tried giving him smicha, it didn't work out. So what happened? Shmuel Yarchina said to Rebbe, Amar le Rebbe, don't worry. Lo lit star ma. Rebbe, don't be bothered that you can't give me smicha. Lididi chazi li sifra de Adam Rishon. I saw the sefer of Adam Rishon. Whatever that means, I'm not sure. But this is what the Gemara tells us. He saw the sefer that Adam Rishon wrote or was given. And in that sefer, it says as follows. Kosebe, Shmuel Yarchina, Chacham Yitzkare, Rebbe Lo Yitzkare. That me, Shmuel Yarchina, I will be called a Chacham, but I will not be called a Rebbe. Even though he had the capabilities of being a Rebbe. Sometimes Siyata Deshmaya has it otherwise. Sometimes it's just not your calling. You could be a really smart guy, a really capable, a personal guy, emotional, sensitive, all that you need to be a rabbi. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want him being a rabbi. He wanted him to be a doctor. And we have to realize that sometimes we have certain roles that I could fill that you can't fill and you feel that I can't fill. I was once traveling back from Eretz Yisrael. I was watching on the plane a documentary about the differences between men and women, in particular with regards to directions. How they view directions in the street. So men apparently, the way we view navigating through the streets, we think of north and south and east and west. So I live here, I want to go to Central Avenue, so I have to go that direction. So I'm going to get that way, I need to turn this way, that way. We think of the global perspective of things. And women think of landmarks. My wife tells me, go to the store, you'll see a gas station there, then you'll see the pizza store there, then you'll see the spa over there, and then that's how you find. I said, I don't know which stores are on Central Avenue. I don't pay attention to those details. So men pay attention to the global perspective, and women are focused on the details. We think differently. Physically, we're, of course, different. Intellectually, we're different. Not better or worse, just different ways of looking at things. Emotionally, we're different. You go to a golf course. So there's the men's tee, and then there's a women's tee. So they're different strengths. You're never going to put a man and a woman to box each other. They're women fighters, and they're men fighters. You're never going to put the two of them fighting because the strengths are different. Someone told me there's a woman kicker in the NFL. Is that true, Mikey?
No.
She wants to be. So imagine that. So the woman's kicking on whatever team she's going to kick for. And some linebacker. I don't know the linebacker's name. Lawrence Taylor. Okay, just bear with me. So Lawrence Taylor. Okay. So he comes and decks the girl. Like, he's going to get rocked for doing that. So it's like a lose-lose situation because it's just not fair. Everyone has to be equal, right? But if they're equal, then let her get a beating from Lawrence Taylor. So that's not fair. So they're not equal. They're different people. There's a Gemara in Horios that talks about a city of... No, a Gemara in Talmud. There's a city of just women. They wanted to conquer the city. So the men said, it's a lose-lose situation. If you lose them, you just lost to women. And if you beat them, you just beat down on women. So you can't win with them. What I'm trying to say here is that men and women are different. Doctors and rabbis are different. Lawyers and businessmen are all different. And it doesn't mean anyone's better or worse. They just play different roles. So Shmuel Yarchino said, I might be capable of being a rabbi, but that's not my calling. It wasn't destined from the Sefer of Adam HaRishon. When I was in Y.E. Smicha, I took a shir with Rabbi Melch Shechter, that's Rav Herschel Shechter's father. So Rav Melch Shechter, Zichron Levracha, he once explained to us that when we say in the morning, Shalom Asani Isha, it doesn't mean that, thank God I'm not a woman. It means, thank God I'm not a woman, in that I don't have the capability of accomplishing what they can accomplish. How they could juggle so much around of raising kids, having kids, shopping, working, all that. I can't do that. Not that they're worse than me. Thank God I'm not what she is. Thank God I wasn't given the responsibility that she has. Not that they're better or worse. They just play different roles. So now how do you know what your role is, though? We don't all have the zechus of getting to read Sefer Adam HaRishon. So what's the answer to that? So there's a Mishnah in Maseches Avos that tells us, number 6 here, Amar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. B'chol yom v'yom, every single day, there's a bas kol, yotes mehar chorev. There's this heavenly voice that comes from Har Chorev, that's Har Sinai. U'machrezes v'omeres, and it says, oy lehem lebrios me'abona shel Torah. Woe to mankind from the disgrace of the Torah. So, anyone ever hear this bas kol? Anyone ever hear anyone else who heard this bas kol? So Baal Shem Tov says that no one hears this bas kol. This is a bas kol that can't be heard. So if it's a bas kol that can't be heard, so what's the point of the bas kol? And so the Baal Shem Tov explained that this bas kol is not referring to an audible sound. It's not a bas kol that we could hear. When we go through life and are inspired by something, whether it be a drasha, a shir, an experience, an individual, a certain event, that's a bas kol. It's a certain feeling that you have, not a voice you hear. It's a certain message HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends you in different ways. So that's the bas kol, when a person hears an inspiration. So that's that same bas kol that a person hears, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us messages, what we should be doing. When you're fighting too hard to do something against what the messages are, that means it's not a message. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you to do something, and you fight, I don't want to do that. That's what it means. Now, it's hard to read messages. I'll tell you, Maisa, my dear friend, Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz. Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz, who I'm sure you all know well, if not heard of Shiurim from North Woodmere and YU. So he was planning to go to law school. And he saw Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky at a wedding, I think it was, right before he went to law school. And Rabbi Kamenetsky was starting DRS. So he goes over to Rabbi Leibowitz. He knew Rabbi Leibowitz from, I assume, at NCSY Kollel. And he said, I'm starting a yeshiva, you'd be a great Rebbe. So you want to come be a Rebbe? And he said, okay. And then, he didn't go to law school, became a Rebbe in DRS, and now he's Rebbe Leibowitz. These are messages that Kadosh Baruch Hu sends people along the way. Now, some have it more obvious and clear than others, but these are the types of bas kols that people experience. Now, when you hear a bas kol, when you have an inspiration to do something, so those could come and go. We had a beautiful Malav Malka last night. Many were inspired by it. It's a beautiful drasha. I recommend those who didn't hear to go listen to it. Incredible message. But now we come Sunday morning. Have we changed at all? Have we done anything with that bas kol? So there's a medrash that Rav Kook speaks about when Avraham Avinu was on Har Bayis with Akedas Yitzchak. He's about to shech his son Yitzchak Avinu. And right before he shechs him, the Malach says, no, don't touch him. So the Medrash explained, well, Avram said, a little bit, a little cup maybe, just a little bit. And the Medrash said, no, don't touch him. So Avram was so bloodthirsty all of a sudden. Avram Avinu, the Baal Chesed, the Machnas Orachim, he wanted to cut his own son, just draw a little blood. Rav Kook says, because he was inspired to do something for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If he couldn't put that inspiration into action, then you'd lose that inspiration. So he didn't want to hurt Yitzchak, of course, but he wanted to take that inspiration he had and to do something to make it physical, to make it real. So when a guy gets inspired, the next day you should do something. Wake up to go to a shir, wake up to learn whatever you're learning, to daven better, do something. But these are bas kols we experience. Sometimes it's to inspire us to learn. Sometimes it's inspiring us to become better husbands. Sometimes inspiring us to go work, to whatever our tafkid is. Because as we mentioned in the beginning, that going to work is an avodah gadola, it's a mitzvah gadola. So we mentioned the story last week of Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan. I'll repeat the story again. And I'll say in greater detail now. Gemara in Tainis Chaf Alhom and Beis tells us a Maisa of two great friends, Rabbi Yochanan and Ilfa. And they were both learning in yeshiva. And then things got tight. They couldn't afford their mortgage, their rent. They couldn't support the family. And they decided to go work. That's what was needed for them. We said one of the reasons to stop learning is if you can't afford to support your family. And these are great, great gedolim. So they're traveling to go find Parnassa, and they were sitting down by a wall. And it was a wall that was very weak, and they didn't know how weak it was. And suddenly Rabbi Yochanan heard two malachim speaking. He said, look at these guys. They're leaving yeshiva to go deal with Gashmias. Let's throw the wall down on top of them. And then the other malach said, no, stop, because there's one guy here who's destined for greatness. So they didn't push the wall down. Rabbi Yochanan turns to his buddy Ilfa. Ilfa, did you hear that? You hear something? You hear some speaking? Ilfa says, I didn't hear anything. Rabbi Yochanan understood that only he heard the malachim, and he was the one destined for greatness. So Rabbi Yochanan says, I'm going to go back to yeshiva. I'm going to just rough it. And Ilfa went to make parnasa. So then Rabbi Yochanan goes on to become Rosh Hashiva. The Gemara says he was malach. He became the king, the Rosh Hashiva. And Ilfa became just a very big Talmud Chacham, but he made parnasa. So afterwards, Ilfa felt a little bad that had he stayed in yeshiva, he would have been even greater than Rabbi Yochanan, he says. And anyone who wants to test me, climb to the top of a boat, like a mast or whatever, on top of the boat, holding on to the sail. Whoever asks me a question, I don't know the answer, I'll jump off into the water. And he was tested, he knew all the answers. So let me ask you, if Ilfa was greater than Rabbi Yochanan, and had he stayed on, he would have become the Rosh Yeshiva, so why didn't he hear the voice? Why didn't he hear the Malachim? He had greater kochos, greater kishronos than Rabbi Yochanan. And the answer is because it doesn't depend on your kochos, necessarily. It depends on the baskol, the messenger Kadosh Baruch Hu sends to you. Ilfa had the intellectual, mental focus, the financial, whatever it was, he had everything. But Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't send him that baskol. So not all of us are meant to hear that baskol. I'm not sure. That's a different point. I don't know. But either way, we see that the messages are sent to some people to stay in learning, and some people are sent messages to go out and work. And neither are considered failures. And the biggest problem in person making decision is when you're trying to pay attention to baskols, you can never look at the guy next to you to see what he's doing. That's not your baskol. That's jealousy. Focus on what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is sending you messages. So there's a Gemara in Yuma. I quoted this last year, Rosh Hashanah, but it's worthwhile to discuss again. And a great opportunity to share some stories to bring nachas to my father-in-law, a couple of stories about the family. So the Gemara in Yuma tells us in Daf Chaf Aleph and Aleph, the very last Marmakom on this page, number 7. Gemara tells us that Tanya Kavasa de Rabbi Shila, the Braisa tells Rabbi Shila, and the name of Rabbi Shila says, Hayote la derech kodem kriyas agever. A guy who travels before the kriyas agever. What does kriyas agever mean? Right. How do you define the words? Kriyas agever? No, the calling of the gever is a tarnagolas. The rooster making the sound. Before the kriyas agever, one who travels too early, Dama Barosho, his blood is on his own head. It's dangerous to travel so early in the morning. So I'm reminded by when my oldest, Batsheva, was born. So she was born on Erev Shabbos in the Columbia Hospital. It was like 2 o'clock, and me being a first-time father, I didn't know any of the rules about how a hospital works. But it was Erev Shabbos, I stayed in. My in-laws brought us some food. We had a nice romantic Kiddush Friday night Suda in the hospital, me, my wife, and Batsheva. And then the lady, the nurse says, you know, it's 10 o'clock, you need to leave. So, I can't leave. It's 10 o'clock and it's Shabbos. I can't go anywhere. I'm in Spanish Harlem. I'm not leaving. She says, you have to leave. You could go somewhere else, but not in the room here. And then I negotiated with her and she said, okay, you could stay here until another patient comes in the room. So I fell asleep on the chair. At 3 o'clock in the morning, the nurse is shaking me. Time to leave. So I had to leave and I walked to the hallway trying to find a nice place to lie down, and all the other wiser, more experienced husbands found all the good spots to sleep, and there are no chairs or couches for me to sleep on. So I just waited around. It's around 4:30 in the morning. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't learn. There's no sparm. So let me walk to YU. So from Columbia, 160th to 187th is quite a walk, but certainly at 4:30 in the morning in Spanish Harlem, anyone who's up, I wasn't so smart then, but anyone who's awake at 4:30 in the morning are people you don't want to go face-to-face with. So I made that trek up to YU. That's what it means, a guy who walks kodem kriyas agever, dama barosho. That's a dangerous thing to do. But I think there's another pshat of this Gemara. what's another way you could define the terms kodem kriyas gever? What does the word gever also mean? What's the pashup shot of gever?
Man.
Kodem kriyas gever. What that means is a person goes on a derech before he's called. Kodem kriyas gever, before you're calling. That's dhamma barosha. If I'm looking because that guy's calling, that guy's got a good business, I should go into that business. That guy's a rabbi, I should be a rabbi. That's what it means. If you're going on kodem kriyas gever before you're calling, then dhamma barosha. So this happened, I think, 2 years ago. Yisrael Meir, my youngest boy. So I don't often do this. I'll admit this in front of my father-in-law. I don't often give baths to my children. But I was charged with the responsibility of giving a bath to my child, Yisrael Meir. So I'm getting the bath already. And I said, okay, just meet me, get in just your room, meet me in the bathroom. And the bath is all ready. He's not coming. So I go to his room. I said, Yisrael Meir. And then I look at him. He's standing, looking out the window, dressed like Adam Arishon, Kodem Achet. So I said, Yisrael Meir, what in the world are you doing standing looking out the window naked? So he said, you know, Abba, there's a guy in your car. He says, there's a guy in my car. Why didn't you come get me? So I look outside, and there's a car in front of my house, and there's a guy sitting in my car. So I said, maybe that's not my car. Maybe my car is like the other car. So I took out my keys, and I pressed like the honk button, and as my car honked, and there's a guy sitting inside my car. So then I pressed the panic button. I ran downstairs to see who's inside my car. The guy jumped out of the car. It's like a beep, beep, beep. And I felt very bad. It was my neighbor's father, like some 75-year-old got into the wrong car, and he was like scared to death. But it reminded me of a guy who's Yote Laderech, Kodem Kriyas Gever. A guy got into the wrong car. You got into the wrong path. You went to the wrong place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends everyone their own car, their own journey, their own path in life, and we shouldn't look to someone else to see what we should be doing. And it's really paying attention to what your calling is. And again, that calling could be learning. It could be a rabbi. It could be a rebbe. It could be a lawyer, doctor, businessman. But the key is paying attention because they're all considered something special. Everything you do is considered a mitzvah gadol as long as you have that mindset. The reason why chassidim are so successful in learning rather than working in terms of their mindset of not feeling like failures is not only because they have a rebbe, like you said, not only because they have a strong kila. It's because they're taught when you go to work, it's a mitzvah gadol. You're not a failure when you work. There's something special. So let's finish off the other side of the page, the Bas Ayin. Need to thank Chesky Schreier. Texted me Erev Shabbos. He saw the topic I gave. He said, there's a great Bas Ayin in this week's Parsha, so I'm going to use this. It's a beautiful piece. The Bas Ayin writes, Gam she'odem hu basir v'dam, u'muchach lasuk b'derech eretz b'masa matan. A guy needs to work. He needs parnasa. Ob melacha b'chtei lahamsi parnasa. So he works just to bring parnasa to feed the family. V'chayigufo, to support himself, hagashmi. During the work hours, tzarech gamkein l'dabik machshavaso b'shas asakav l'abori baruchu. You need to connect your mind to Hashem even while you're working. B'yira v'ava l'Hashem. Like it says in the pasuk, kakasav b'chol derechecha de'ehu, in all your paths, all the derachim you go on, always have Hashem in mind. It doesn't only mean while you're learning. It means even while you're playing basketball, tennis, and working. Ubazem mitada yira, through that yosir meira, you'll remove all evil. Shalo lav or al mitzvah losa say, mitada hava, fine. Go to the next paragraph now. Vizel perish apostic, that's what it means. Ki seitse la milchama alevecha. When you go out to battle, heina klipos shenachamim imcha. These are the various forces that fight against us, whether it's those who are challenging us, temptations in with money, being able to steal money, launder money, temptations in things we shouldn't be looking at, all types of temptations in drinking and drugs, all that stuff. Those are the klipos of the milchama. Umivakshin ladichacha mevodas habori baruch hu. We're asking Hashem to push him away from us, and they're trying to rather push us away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To have us love other things other than Hashem. To go in mamon, v'achila, v'shisiya, kavo, kadoma. To run after food, money, drinks, and honor. And they're trying to do this, lahamir, lahachlif, avas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To replace our love for Hashem, to love avas chulin. So the idea is, the next paragraph he writes, that's what it means, v'shavisya, v'shivya. To bring back the captives. Bazeh Shavisa Shivya Rotzalomar Toti Hanitzoto Takadoshos Shem Shvuim Etzlam. When you go out to work, yes, it's challenging. No one's saying it's easy. But those who go out to work, because that's their calling, the idea is to bring Kedusha, whether it means to make Kiddush Hashem, whether it means to use money for tzedakah, whether it means to just help people out in other types of ways, you're bring back that which is captive. All the sparks of Kedusha that are hidden in that world, you're saving them, you're bringing them back. And Rocky says, the only way to accomplish this, to bring back the captives, those Kedushos, is Shemitchila in the morning, Tzarech Ha'adam Ledabik Atzmo, you need to connect yourself in the morning, Lekasher Nafshel Hashem, the Torah, the Tefillah Umitzos. Every morning when you learn, you should daven and wear tefillin. And when you start the day off like that, the mitzvos could go in tefillin, v'tzitzis, v'tztaka, b'boker, b'tchilu rechima, which means with fear and love, and then after you're prepared, acharkach, lates la'sakav, to go out to do business. V'yucham in ma'yetzahara, to fight the yetzahara v'yuchalo, then you're able to. So like we spoke about last week, the way you're accomplishing shifti b'veis Hashem koi mechaya doesn't mean to sit in a beis medrash all day long. There are those who are supposed to be doing that. But then there's everyone else who shifti b'veis Hashem is turning their workday into b'veis Hashem. As long as you bookend your day with Shema and davening and tefillin in the morning, and the evening with Shema and Shemoneh Esrei in the evening, and during Elul, as we said, Elul l'davar Hashem ori in the morning and l'davar Hashem ori in the afternoon. When you bookend your day in such a way, so then you're going to be considered shifti b'veis Hashem koy mechayei, and then you'll be zoch to bring back all the shavisa shivios, all the captives that are hidden in all the world of gashmius that we find ourselves, and to bring it to a place of Kedusha. And we shall be zocha to find that Kedusha as we lead up to Yom and the Rayim. We shall be zocha the Gula Shleima B'Amitas Meir Amen V'Amen V'Amen.
I'm surprised you didn't give the YU model.